Remember what I said when when we did the Thursday night introductions, and I said, it's always a journey when Nancy gives you a topic and you talk, and I knew this topic was going to be really important. It was going to be timely, and I knew God was going to share something big, and man, the enemy has just been coming at me, and even right before I'm about to talk, it's just, but that's a good thing, because that tells me something I'm about to say is going to be really good.
Amen.
You know, when I got here, Nancy was talking about we're about to enter into a new decade, and I got to thinking about this last decade. I got saved at the beginning of this last decade, and when I got saved, I didn't know anything about Jesus. I had never really opened the Bible at all. I mean, I was fresh meat, and that was a good thing in a sense because, you know, I didn't have to rip out any religion or anything like that, and even to this day when people are talking about different denominations, and Nancy, in the morning service, she was talking about the four squares and the Church of God. I don't understand the differences between them. And to this day, I don't understand the differences. But that's okay. You know, God is, he's created me a certain way. And then I'm just kind of this fresh canvas, and I'm going with it. And so, you know, because of that, I've really had to rely on the Holy Spirit to teach me, because in the beginning, there are a lot of times God would position me in a way where I didn't have anybody around me to help me, and I used to be a little upset at that until one day I realized, oh, God was showing me I've got to rely on him for everything, and that's exactly what happened. And, you know, he also sent me friends that spoke the same language as me and had the same heart desires as me. And one of my friends, we would get together and she would always tell me about her dreams. She's a Haitian girl, and she would tell me some of the stories from Haiti, and I thought, whoa. And then God would speak to her in dreams, and then she would always have something to say about her dreams and what God was telling her, and that just activated something in me. And the next thing I knew, I was praying, God, I want more dreams. I want to hear from you like that. And so we'd always pray, and we'd always kind of tell each other our revelations. It was an iron sharpening iron kind of experience. And you know, my heart for the longest time would say, Lord, I want you to speak to me in dreams. And then somewhere in the mix, Nancy, when she was in South Carolina, she asked me if I would go to New Zealand with the team, and I said, absolutely. And she asked me to speak in New Zealand, and I thought, okay. And with trembling feet, you know, I said, okay. And I remembered at the end of the message, she prayed for me, and she said, God said, you're going to have a dream tonight. And I thought, oh my gosh. I've never been so excited to go to sleep. I got in bed that night, and I pulled the covers up, and I'm like, all right, let's do this. So I go to sleep, and I think I woke up in the middle of the night and thought, it hasn't happened yet, so I go back to sleep. And then I did have a dream that night, and when I woke up, honestly, my first thought was, I'm a little disappointed. What was that? But I wrote it down anyway, the dream, because I still, if Nancy wouldn't have said, hey, you're going to have a dream tonight, I would have never gave it a second thought. Because you have to remember, I don't know the language of God. You have to learn what that sounds like. What does it sound like when God is speaking to you? And so if Nancy helped me realize that was what it's like when God speaks to you. And you know what's interesting is that dream was a very powerful dream, because I remember going to Evelyn's doorstep and just kind of sitting there at the door, and I told Evelyn my dream, and I could tell she knew what it meant, and so now I'm, you know, with my struggle, like, tell me. I'm going to dig it out of you. Tell me what it means. And it was a really good dream, and then I had realized that dream was familiar. He had already given it to me. He had already spoken to me, and then I started realizing, wait a minute. God has been speaking to me in dreams since I was a little girl, and I never realized it. And a lot of times, just because I'm a teacher, I'll hear students tell me their dreams, and I'm thinking, God's speaking to you, and you have no idea. And so from then on, it initiated this whole season of every single night I'm having dreams. And I wrote them down because I didn't understand them. And so knowing me, it's my way of pursuing and figuring out what is God saying to me. It helped motivate me. It helped push me to realize the symbolism and the metaphors and, of, he just knew how to motivate me. And it worked. And then one time I had a really bad nightmare, which I'm not going to say, but it was one night I had this awful dream, and it was so awful that I woke up, and it just kind of took my mind up the whole day at work, like, what does this mean? What does this mean? Well, then I get home from work, because I'm a school teacher, I get home and I lay down on the couch. Well, I have another, and I took a nap. I have another nightmare. And then the essence of the nightmare is everything is being stolen from me. That's the essence. I'm being attacked, and everything's being stolen from me. And then I wake up, and I'm just distraught, and I thought, oh, my gosh, is this a warning dream? Is this a warning dream? And so then I go to bed that night, and I have a third nightmare. And by the way, this was about a year ago. It wasn't that long ago. And so I have a third nightmare, and I'm thinking, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? And so I'm going to everyone, and I'm trying to get help to figure out an interpretation of what does this dream mean. And in the process, every person that tries to interpret the dream, I'm like, no, 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 that's not it. No, 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 that's it. No, no, none of it was it. And then I went to, you know, some people that I, you know, are more experienced and seasoned. And then one person, and it was just totally wrong. In fact, the more people I told the dream to, and the more people tried to interpret it back to me, the more confused and chaotic everything seemed. Do y'all see what's going on here? It wasn't from God. And I realized, wait a minute, I so desire to hear from God that I'm misplacing the word here, and things are out of order, and that dream was a total lie because it didn't match up to anything that was going on in my heart. I knew everything that I was doing was right and pure to the best of my ability at that moment of where I was. It wasn't right, and I realized every time I opened my mouth, well, first of all, I believed a lie. I believed that dream. I believed a lie. And then when I spoke it out, I could just see these little seeds of chaos just going in all directions. And then when people spoke to me, it was just like coming at me. And then it just kept going back and forth until I was a total mess. And then I just put up all the walls. And I'm like, I just saw this vision of just someone taking a filing cabinet and then just taking all the files and doing this. And I was at the point where I'm like, okay, I'm not going to anyone. The Lord, Lord, you're going to have to put this back together because I get it now. I get what you're trying to communicate here to me. I need to, number one, stop going to people. That also was out of order. You ever know when you're in a situation, you feel kind of shaken up? What's your first reaction? Well, mine at that moment in my growing journey is to cling on people. And so I'll run up to my friend, you know, and I'll say, hey, da 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 da. And then I'll run up to someone else. And that is okay. You know, God gives counsel through people, but he was correcting something in me that, once again, there's an order in me that needed to be corrected. I should have gone to the Word first. I should have consulted with God first, and I didn't. And He corrected that in me. And so, you know, that was going on in the time. And also, He started speaking to me about my church that I'd gotten saved in, and I had been in my church for almost 10 years. I mean, my foundation was built in that church. And He started telling me, hey, you know, it was over the course of a couple months. And that's kind of scary for me. Where am I going to go? You know, who's gonna be my pastor? The more and more I stayed there, the more unhappy I was, because He was telling me it's time to go. And I remember thinking in my heart, okay, I'm cutting ties. And I don't really know how that works, but I, on the inside, as soon as I made the decision in my heart, all right, I've got to go, and I cut it off, I felt the covering leave. Have y'all ever felt that? When God's telling you got to cut something, and then I wanted it back. I'm like, wait a minute, now I feel vulnerable. And so now I'm really kind of feeling lost. I'm feeling in a transition. I'm feeling, I guess that's that next level God takes you to. And during the transition, it feels dark and it feels scary. And so here I am trying to cling to people. And now I'm grieving, and I don't understand why I'm grieving. Why am I grieving? Why am I so sad? Why do I feel like there's a dark cloud over me? And, you know, it was my church family. I'm grieving because God told me to split with them. But in the meantime, I'm still in the Word. Because I had a moment where, when we were in South Carolina this past year, or in February, and Nancy has the house that they stay in when they're ministering in a certain part of South Carolina, and it's a good time to go and stay with them to, you know, because I'll have a place to stay if I go drive up to South Carolina and to be with them. Well, I woke up one morning, and I was talking to Sarah, and Nancy was still sleeping, and I was talking to her, and I was telling her everything that was going on, and I don't know, and, you know, I'm needing someone to help me. And Sarah says, well, why don't you read the Word? And I said, well, I do. And she said, well, when you read the Word, it's a light unto your path. And I didn't realize that, make that connection that, oh, I can read the Word, and even though the story may not be exactly my story, if I just read the Word and have faith, I'll know I'm going the right direction. And you remember when Nancy was introducing Sarah before her workshop, and she had mentioned, you know, that's her strength. And I prefer that. That's such a sure way of a path. And, you know, when I'm confused. And I'll tell you another time I was confused during the Trump election. I don't know if y'all felt the atmosphere, but it was so confusing to me, because this prophet was saying that prophet was saying that, and all these words, and I'm like, ah, and everyone has something to say, and it just made me feel like a confused little tornado. So that's just where I was at the moment. I just was like, all right, I'm just going to cling to the Word, because that's the only sure place that I have right now. And so that's what I did. All during the summer, I just pour into the Word. And I'm reading, and then, you know, I have a dream. And then I wake up, and then I have this little book I go to, and it has symbols, but below the symbols, in the explanations, it has scriptures. So I skip the explanation and I go straight to the scriptures. And I read every single scripture that it said. And then when I did that, revelation came. And I thought, oh, wow, this actually works. And it was exciting. I can read the word, and it does illuminate, and it does give me revelation and helps me see where to go. For me, this is a new thing. And, you know, I've had to learn my journey with the word. The word is not just a book that I read anymore. The word is now my friend. He's my friend. And when maybe people don't fully understand what's going on in my heart, I can always trust in the word to help me. I can always trust in the word when I feel alone. I can trust in the word to bring me comfort. I can trust in the word to give me wisdom when I don't really know what to say or to do. I can trust in the word to give me strength when I feel weak. The word has become my safe ground, and that's one of the reasons why Nancy gave me this topic, is because I've had to learn I may not be able to rely on everyone around me, but I can always rely on the word. Amen. You know, my friends, even my bestest ones, you know, sometimes their counsel isn't entirely reliable and I gotta kind of sift through it, but the word, that's my safe place. And I've spent the last year just really pouring into it and reading. And even when I don't understand, I just keep reading because God will bring me the understanding at the proper time. You know, when I first got saved, I have a really difficult time sitting down and just reading the word. I don't know if y'all were like that. I can relate to new believers because I didn't just grow up hearing a lot of stories. And even if I did, I kind of just shut it off because I didn't understand it. But when I tried to read, I had a very difficult time sitting and reading. It's just like I would just fall asleep. This slumber would come upon me and people just say, oh, I just get and read. And I'm like, I don't think you understand. I had to contend for the right to read. It wasn't just sit down and read. I'll give you an example. I do a little discipleship group with my little brother and his girlfriend, and we meet every Thursday night online. We've been doing that for 3 years. And, you know, my parents, they are in the process of understanding the miracle working kind of Jesus that I know. And so finally I had the opportunity. We were sitting in the boat on the lake and it was a perfect opportunity to say, hey, Dad, I will show you in scripture what I'm talking. I'll prove it to you. If I can prove it, would you listen to me? And he's like, oh, yeah, sure. And so I open up the Bible, and I thought, oh, yeah, this is my moment. I'm finally going to show him the miracle-working Jesus that I know. And I get to read it, and I'm reading the most beautiful, because Mark is my book. I mean, in chapter 1, I mean, Jesus is already casting out demons, and I mean, the action's just like pop, pop, pop. And I like that. I like action. I relate to Peter a lot, impulsive and, you know, just doesn't think and then have to backtrack and like, okay, sorry, I cut his ear off, but can you just heal that right there? And so, but the heart's right? Just a little impulsive. I forgot what I was saying. What was that? Oh, yeah. So I was reading in Mark and I got done with the most beautiful explanation, and I look over at my dad, and he's like, and I thought, I get it. I'm not even mad at you right now. But it's a total spiritual image of what I had to struggle with throughout my process. And I've had to learn, the word always forgives me when I fall asleep or, you know, so, you know, I'm starting to sound like Alaskans. It's rubbing off on me. But I'm at the point now where, yeah, I can sit down and read it for long periods of time, and I have enough strength to do that, to press in and keep reading. I don't know if that makes sense to y'all or if y'all have had that same struggle, but that's been my struggle. And so, you know, I'm a truth seeker. I like to know the truth. And honestly, that's what brought me to Jesus in the beginning, is I would go from person to person, and I'd just ask a ton of questions. In fact, when I first met Nancy, I would unleash a ton of questions on her. And when I didn't understand, I would just get so frustrated. And then someone in their workshop, I don't know if it was you, Michelle, when you said, Mary Poppins said we were going to go on a journey, but don't ruin the journey with too many questions. And I thought, whoops, that's so me. Was that you that said that? Okay, well, I get what she was saying, because that was me. I like to understand things, and I like to know things. I'm a truth seeker. I like to know the truth in all things. And so once God finally got a hold of me and brought me to the Word, I was able to really discover the truth in a much bigger way, and still am discovering it. But this is the scripture that she gave me as one of the foundational scriptures for the workshop. Psalm 119:160 says, the sum total of all your words adds up to absolute truth. And every one of your righteous decrees is everlasting. So if you ever have a situation or an issue and you're trying to find the truth in it, the Word is where we go. And so I keep reading the Word, and we're about to start school this year. I'm a high school teacher, and I have always had a hard time teaching high school. That was a stretch for me to go in to the high school, and you know, I've always prayed for big things, and I realize when you pray for big things, God's going to put you in a situation where you have to really overcome. And with school, there's a lot of giants in the public school system. And I was also dealing with my own personal giants. And not only that, you've got 150 students coming in and out of the classroom, and you're dealing with those giants too. There's a lot of spiritual warfare that goes on in a high school classroom. And when I first came in, you know, I'm a brand new believer, and it's a struggle every single year. It was a struggle. And before the end of last year, this past year, my heart is now in the position where I say, hey, Lord, I want your Word. I need time to read the Word. Can you please make my situation work out so I can get in the Word? Well, right before the school year, you know, I had been talking and telling people how I was feeling. And, you know, I think sometimes, I guess it came across negative, like I was just being negative about the school, or I was being negative about my job. But I've come to realize, I'll say my emotions to people, and it's not that I'm trying to be negative, but I'm trying to get understanding. Why do I feel this way? And so I'll go to people and I'll tell people, how do I feel? And I'm just starting to understand this. And I'm like, basically it's saying, help me. What do I do? Why do I feel this way? And I realize why I felt this way is I needed strength to deal with what I was dealing with. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? And before I started this year, I said, Lord, I am not doing what I did the previous years. I need strength. And I need to be able to have strength in the school year. I'm not going to just survive anymore. That Jesus didn't survive his situations and come out hanging on threads. I need strength. And so here's the story that God led me up to a revelation on strength. Y'all ever heard of Perry Stone? Perry Stone. And so I just started listening to him, and the Lord led me to watch some of his YouTube videos, and he had a meeting close to Georgia, about 2 hours away, and he led me to go there one afternoon on a Saturday night. And so I went there, and I went all by myself. I couldn't really find anybody to go, so I was like, okay, I'll just go by myself. And I got there. It was a big church, and a lot of people there, and I went and sat down somewhere in the back because I didn't realize if you go to a Perry Stone conference, you better get there early because a lot of people like him. So I found a seat somewhere in the back, and the worship was awesome, and I remember sitting there praying. And this happens a lot when we pray in the beginning or worship starts. I might see like an image or something. Well, all of a sudden, I see this cow-looking thing, and I'm like, what in Lord? What kind of church is this? What's your, where'd you take me? Is there a demon up in here I need to speak to and cast out? And I just started looking at the cow or ox, maybe it was. Normally, I'll see a lion strolling through, or maybe an eagle. A lot of times, it's a lion or eagle, but I saw an ox. And I just was sitting there looking at the ox, and the horns were really large. And the fur or whatever, the hair, was really shiny and healthy. And it was like a red-orange-ish color. And it was muscular. And I thought, that's a really nice-looking ox. And I didn't think much of it. And then I kept just thinking about that ox. And then I finally realized, wait a minute. I think that was a good thing. In Revelation, I heard it somewhere. In Revelation, Jesus was characterized by the eagle, right? The lion. There was human. And then there was an ox. Guess what the ox symbolizes? Strength. Ah. And so then I'm just reading in the Word, and I come across a scripture. It says in Psalm 92:10, but my horn, my emblem of strength and power, you have exalted like that of a wild ox. And so I said, all right then, I'm an ox. And these are the conversations I have in my head that I don't really tell people. And then I'm an ox. And so I texted Nancy. I'm like, Nancy, I got a revelation. I have strength like an ox. And that's my declaration. I have strength like the ox. And then Nancy texted back, well, I feel like a pig because I just ate way too much. I'm like, and I'm thinking, I come at you so serious and so excited to say my revelation, and you didn't respond like I wanted, but that's okay, whatever. It was still funny. I'm still an ox, and I still have the horn, and I start thinking about the horn. Who was the prophet that came and poured the oil on David, and the oil was in the Samuel, and the oil was in the horn? An oil of strength. And so then I go to Daniel chapter 8, where it talks about the ram and the some other animal, and then it starts describing the horns. Well, y'all know in Daniel, the visions have to deal with the different kingdoms on earth. So you get these little horns, and this one animal has the horn, and the Bible says, and he went to the left, the right, or the north, the south, the east, and the west. And so I'm envisioning this big old animal with its horns, with the natural strength of the natural kingdom to conquer. And so then the Bible says, well, then here comes another animal, and it's got this horns, and now he's coming at this other animal, and then he broke off part of that horn, so then this other animal comes, and then he goes to the north, the south, and east, and the west, and then his kingdom expands. And the next thing I thought is, well, I have got the horn of salvation. I'm going to go to the north, the south, the east, and the west. And that's how I thought. I've got the horn of salvation, and my kingdom is greater than any kingdom on earth. Amen. And all of our. And then so that's the mindset I had. And so I kept praying, because the latter part of that, it says, I'm anointed with fresh oil for your service. I've got the horn of salvation. I've got strength like a wild ox. And so that's what I prayed, and I did feel strong. I felt really strong in the beginning of school, and God worked a few miracles, and he's been really allowing me to have time with him finally. And then one day in my room, this was actually just a couple weeks ago, I was laying on my bench listening to some worship music, and it was a good little squishy bench. It's the bench I always pray on, and I was just laying down, and I don't even know where this question came from, but I asked the Lord, how come I always have an issue with negativity when issues and situations are brought in front of me? Why is my default response negative? And he answered me really quickly and actually surprised me, because I'm used to having to wait. And he said, why is my mindset negative, but when I get around Nancy, my problem doesn't really seem that big? And it just kind of like, oh, it's okay. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And he said, because Nancy's a pillar of hope. And I thought, oh, interesting. Hope sees differently. Doesn't see the same way that my default mind, the way I was molded growing up. Negativity is something I've had to struggle with and break off of me. And hope, I thought, was just something if you're really depressed, you know, or you're having bad thoughts, you need hope. But it's so much more. Hope sees how God sees. Hope moves and thinks differently and behaves and has a different attitude. And I just thought, well, what is hope? What does the Bible say about hope? And I come up with a couple different things. Hope causes us to rejoice. You ever notice when you're feeling really down, the first thing you forget to do is sing and rejoice? And sometimes you just contend for hope. You fight for it by singing, rejoice. Romans 5:2, let us rejoice in our hope in confident assurance of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. Hope doesn't disappoint. I didn't realize disappointment was from the enemy. Nobody told me that. And I finally realized, wait a minute, I'm cycling, and I just keep letting the enemy lead me into disappointment. Not anymore. When I realized that was his plan, I got angry and I said, no more. Romans 5:5, such hope never disappoints us because God's love has been abundantly poured out within our hearts. Another thing hope can do, or maybe develop, God can use problems and trials to strengthen our hope. So we don't just, you know, come already full, but maybe God knows it's a journey of embracing and allowing it to manifest. God can use problems and trials to strengthen our hope. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. Endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope in salvation. We can be enlightened to it. So that goes back again. That wasn't my default response. Hope, I have to be enlightened to it. I have to have a revelation of it, just like God gave me. Ephesians 1, the prayer, the famous prayer that Paul prays over the Ephesians. I pray that your hearts would be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope that he has given to those he called. It's living. 1 Peter 1:3. I'm going to go there. 1 Peter 1:3, because I didn't copy it down. All right, so this is in the Passion. Celebrate with praises the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has shown us his extravagant mercy. For his fountain of mercy has given us new life. We are reborn to experience a living, energetic hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it's living. Another thing I realized, it's connected to faith. And this is the year of redemptive faith. And y'all know the famous scripture, Hebrews 11, where it says, now faith is a substance of things. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. If I don't have hope and have a destiny of where my faith is taking me, how can you use faith? You have to hope for something. What do you hope for? I hope for a lot of things. I hope to see Jesus' face one day. I hope to experience a real intimate relationship with him. I'm hoping for the promises that he's given me that hasn't happened yet. And I don't see any evidence right now of anything moving right now, but I hope. I have a confident assurance. It's connected to faith. And so if my hope is not proper and I don't steward it and I don't protect it, if I don't protect the hope that God has given me, how can I use faith? And so I'm going to give you an example of that. Because hope positions us. And this is where we're entering into 2020. Hope positions us. And I was sitting in a Bible study one day at Mark's Grace Place. And he was talking to us. And I just drifted off. And the Lord just started speaking to me. He said, you know why the Israelites never entered into the promised land? Their negative mindset, they didn't have any hope of being able to go in there. You notice the best leaders are full of hope because most people don't have hope, and so you're just drawn to the hope. And God sent the 12 scouts into the promised land, and only two came back, and two of them, we know Caleb and Joshua, came back and said, let's go into the promised land. And God told me, if I don't work on this in my heart and allow God to do what he needs to do to position me in hope and change my attitude and change my mindset and change how I see issues, I'm not going to get into that promised land. It's an inner thing. I used to think the Holy Spirit was just going to sweep me away, and then we're going to get into revival. And then I realized, and the Lord said, told me personally, when I've got the opportunity to go into that promised land, am I going to see this situation as an opportunity for a possibility? God's possibilities, or am I going to view it as he's put something else in my way? I heard something where God says, he puts giants in front of us so that we can be upgraded. He puts giants in front of us to upgrade us. What that means is he knows Christ in us overcomes the giant in front of us. He wants us to view the giant differently. Christ in us sees opportunities. Christ in us overcomes anything that the enemy brings to us. Christ in us, nothing is impossible. And then I started thinking, wait a minute, you know what the Bible also says? The Bible says there's joy for your mourning. The Bible says there is protection for when you need it. There's healing if you're sick. And then I thought, wait a minute. I win no matter what. And that's hope. I win no matter what, and so do you. And so when the enemy tries to come with these thoughts, no. In fact, you are coming at me, and then I'm going to ask for more to come in and replace that. Come at me against Satan, because I'm going to ask God to come in and replace that. And you're just upgrading me. Thank you for upgrading me. Thank you now, because I have a testimony, and I realize I don't want God to pull me out of school yet until I learn to overcome it. Till I learn that's why he has me where I'm at. Until I allow him in me to overcome what's in front of me, then I get to go. And that's what I want. And so now I'm thinking of hope completely differently. And he says, you know, you can't go into the promised land unless you have hope. And also he told me, and then a scripture actually burst forth in my mind. It's the one that says you enter into his courts, how? With thanksgiving and praise. And so the promised land to me are the courts. You know, I'm still learning the Bible, but to me that made perfect sense. I mean, that's what the Holy Spirit said. We enter into his courts with thanksgiving. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. I know the giants are there, but thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, because Christ in me overcomes any obstacle that's in front of me. Thank you, Lord. Whoa, do you see those grapes? Can I test one? Can I eat and see how good it is? Thank you, Father. And that's how we get there. Through what we say, our declaration. He said, our declaration, what we say, and the praise is what gets us into the promised land. So I start declaring, you know, hope over me. Hope, Lord, I'm going to see these situations differently. I'm going to have a better attitude. And the enemy tries to come at me and my attitude and the way I see things. You said, anything is possible if you believe it. All things are possible. Now, everything is a possibility of what God can do, because Christ is in me. And anyway, who can't get excited about food? I mean, just what we're eating, that enough gives me a little jig in my step. And now, all of a sudden that I had that revelation, I start thinking of songs. Well, Lord, what's some songs I can sing? What's some songs I can sing? And then the one that popped in my head, sing a song of hope, sing along, God of heaven, calm down. Y'all know that song? Heaven, I can't sing. Sing a song of hope, sing along, God of heaven, calm down, heaven, calm down. Just to know that you are near is enough, God of heaven, calm down. So that's what I do in my classroom. When the students are in there and not in there, I'm just singing. And a lot of times, my favorite way to sing and praise the Lord is in tongues. I love singing in tongues, you know. It's amazing what comes out. Sometimes I rap in tongues. I'm like, whoa, I'm a skilled worshiper when I'm singing in tongues, because you're not really thinking about what you're saying. It just comes out. So that's what God gave me about that. And now I'm seeing hope in all situations. And I think about movies. Have y'all ever watched The Hunger Games? And, you know, if, I don't know if you watch a movie and then you just, the Holy Spirit just starts speaking to you. See how that works out in that character and da-da-da-da. When The Hunger Games, right, they have the different districts. And I think it's supposed to be a apocalyptic type of movie. So you have these different districts, they're all oppressed, and they're all controlled by the capital. And so from the districts, they pick people to appear in what's called the Hunger Games. And it's a horrible way of entertaining the people at the capital, because what happens in the Hunger Games is everyone, they end up having to kill each other. And only one person wins. And so what happens when you're watching the movie, you're like, oh my gosh, Everyone's going to die. There's no hope. Everyone's going to die. Only one person wins. But at the last minute, when they have to go in again for the second time, what happens? Well, suddenly, they shoot some little arrow with electricity attached to it, and the whole dome of what they were being kept in completely dismantled. And then you're like, whoa, there's always a possibility. And when you think there's no possibility, there's always a possibility. And he makes a way. And what did the person at the Capitol want to do? The first thing he wanted to do was eliminate the person who provided hope to all the people. Don't let God steal your hope. And so then I started thinking of all the characters in the Bible. Paul. Paul was a pillar of hope to the new church, the early church. Think of how much persecution was going on. They needed someone to look to. And you know, the leaders, they would go and get beaten and come back. And you know what they would say? Pray for more boldness. And I'm thinking, I probably would have come back and said, you know what they did to me? You know what they said to me? But it didn't bother them. They just saw more opportunities. They were pillars of hope. And, you know, Esther was a pillar of hope. She became hope to all the Israelites. And started thinking about all these people in the Bible. Oh, yeah, God used a pillar of hope, pillar. And then I thought, Jesus. Jesus is a pillar of hope to the entire church. We wouldn't get out of this dome of the entertaining Satan if it wasn't for Jesus. Jesus is our way out. He is our possibility. And we have him. He is in us. Now we are a bunch of little Jesuses, a bunch of little pillars of hope, and guess what we now do? We become a magnet for the hopeless. We become a magnet for the hopeless. And the more we allow God to transform that, the more we're going to be able to infect this world with our little antlers, with our strength and our hope, infecting this entire world with the gospel. And I think that's where I end.